5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on. All-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, one and all. You cannot beat a bit of the killer to start off on a Thursday night. It is Central Time, 9:30 on... So I say that every week, and, you know, if you're tuning in, then you know what day it is, and you know what time it is, so fuck you, okay? If you don't, you just, you know... crap, I guess. But hey, it is it is one of those, as you know, I mean, one of those moves today, so be careful. That's all I'm gonna say is
grab him by the pussy.
You know what uranium is, right? It's a thing called nuclear weapons and other things. Like, lots of things are done with uranium, including some bad things.
Ha
So I could not resist Donald Trump there, of course. The biggest embarrassment, I think, the biggest embarrassment since the time I shat myself at a swingers party. So bless him, bless him. And I'm not going to make the obvious segue, but here she is. How are you this evening, my dear?
I'm good, but what would the segue have been? Would it have been something about
swingers party? Just don't even go there.
Okay,
there were many. There were many. So there you go. You know, it's so how are you this evening? He said,
I'm great.
Moving swiftly along. Good. Enough about you. Let's talk about me some more. So hey, what have you been up to this week, Xtina?
I've been working.
Oh, come on.
I've been working.
Should be off the hip, shoot from the hip. Come on, what have you been doing? What have you been working on?
I've been editing a novel, Blood in the Woods, and it was really good, and I can't wait till it's released because I'm going to tell all my friends they have to buy it and read it.
Yeah, it is a corker. I mean, we will be having the author Joe Willie on sometime in the new year. The book, I believe, goes live. I think he's sneaky. You can pre-order it now, actually, from the Hellbound Books website. So, but don't tell anyone. It's a secret. There's only you, me, and the listeners, so we're all right. The three of us know about it now. But it is a good book, and it's always nice when you know you get to work on something that sort of draws you in and carries you along and hugs you in a special way.
Oh gosh, in a special way, kind of. Yeah, I'm not even gonna. No, you know, I liked the. It says based on a true story, right? To me, that was the cool part. You know,
it is.
I thought that was really cool.
I'm sure Joe will regale us with the truth. It is the people there were arrests made and people died and it was all unpleasant, but makes for a damn good book actually. Which is,
yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Sad state of affairs, but. Yeah, well, you've got to book him on, so it's your job. So.
So there's that. And I will. I'll start bugging him now.
Good. So, hey, we I presume we have a show. It's the penultimate show before Christmas, which means I'm going to have to bite the bullet next week. There's going to have to be Christmas music, I guess, next week.
Woohoo! Yeah, definitely.
I love Christmas music. Yay.
Yeah, you were very convincing. And I have been trying for the past, to be honest, I start playing Christmas music right. I think I start doing it. Yeah, Thanksgiving is when I started. But I haven't really felt it.
Do you know, I never play Christmas music. I hate it. There's one Christmas song that I like. One.
I
will dig it out and play it. There's just one. All the rest. Hey, I mean, you go around all the stores have been playing it since Thanksgiving, and it depresses me.
Oh,
it really,
really
does. It just depresses me. I hate it. It's just all bilge, to be honest.
I have been
terrible stuff.
Jingle Bell Rock, and even Here Comes Santa Claus. I've been bopping around to all day today. So you're just bah humbug. That's what you are.
I am. You name me one decent Christmas song. One, you know, that's really
There's a million beautiful,
there's not one.
Wonderful.
There's not
Christmas.
One. No, not one.
We're going to have to agree to disagree here because there are some really good ones. Winter Wonderland, that's a great song, isn't it? Now, I liked it best by the Chipmunks, but there are also really good versions.
I think, to be fair, anything by the Chipmunks is just automatically shite. So.
Well, you know what? It's funny. I had the album. I had this album when I was a kid that was the Chipmunks' Christmas.
Yeah, my wife had that album too, and I hate that.
I tried to look it up today, and they've redid it or something, and it doesn't sound the same anymore. I don't know. I didn't like it at all. I'm like, no, there are certain things I'm okay with remakes of, but the Chipmunks was not one of them, and I was very upset with it.
Well, there's a... I don't know whether a group or whatever, Nightcore, and my daughter is into Nightcore, and they seem to resample a lot of other people's stuff, and they make it sound like the Chipmunks or the Chipettes are singing it, and it's like, what is this? What the fuck are you listening to, daughter of mine? Just don't, just, you know, put on a bit of Sinatra, a bit of Bing Crosby. You know, it's like, literally, they see before the show, we went to my son's Christmas concert. He's in the band at the high school. They had the jazz band on to start. They played Down the Moon, and there's a fucking good tune. I was tapping my foot. Hung along, it's great. We must have that on the show again soon. And it's just... And I'm sounding old now, aren't I? How old am I sounding, people?
I'm not gonna even answer that. I'm not.
You can't hear the word modern music. You can't hear the words. You can't hear the words, and it all sounds the same. Sounded just like I am now. The final transition into my dad has happened. In fact, the beginning of the end was when I got my old. Old pair of sweatpants out. I do my gardening pants, and you see where this is going. And believe it, either the elastic in the waist had gone, or I had actually lost a bit of weight. And I have a sneaky suspicion which of the two is true. And so rather than throw them away, because like, this is my gardening pants. I literally no word of lie. I got some string out of the garage, bit of string, cut it to length, tied it around my waist, you know, in the bow and everything. That's cracking. That's great. I can wear these for God. And I thought at that moment, I thought the transition towards being my dad is almost complete now, because I was just totally what he would have done, totally what his my granddad would have done, and it's I need to pass it on to my kids as well. You know.
Oh yeah, you should definitely do that. So, you know, you asked how old do you sound when you know you said what you did. And then how old do I sound when I was telling you I was bopping around the house to Here Comes Santa Claus? So, you know, how do I...
Yeah, probably about 8.
I was going to go with 12, jeez. But I guess not 12-year-olds these days, so okay.
Well, I'll tell you, no, I mean, you seriously, you listen to my daughter's age, 8, I mean, she's 8 going on 9, is listening to, and it's like... What? In fact, funnily enough, I was accosted, getting my daughter off the bus, accosted by a mother of a friend of hers on the bus. And, oh, here we go, you know, and your daughter, she said this and she said that, and she said something about cocaine, and where does an 8-year-old hear about cocaine? Well, you know, an 8-year-old is fucking aware, actually. You know, she, you know, she knows what cocaine is. She knows it. And it's funny enough, actually, you know, driving to my son's concert with the little one, and she's there, and she put this Nightcore on, and they're singing about cocaine and bitches and.
Oh God!
Oh dear Lord! And this woman said, she called my daughter the bitch. Where she fucking got that language from, lady?
Well, maybe your daughter shouldn't be a bitch, and she wouldn't call her a bitch, right?
That's it. If your daughter wasn't such a whiny little bitch, she wouldn't get called on, would she?
Oh God.
Kids, and it's funny. My boy, I mean, he's 15. He's so laid back. He's horizontal. He's just so. He's one of the cool. I was never a cool kid, just. He doesn't give a shit whether he's popular or not. He doesn't care what people think about him. Anybody crosses him, he will take him out. He's quite happy to, you know, he'll be tolerant. But somebody gets on the wrong side of me, he'll lay him out. I mean, it's just chill. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And yet his sister is just not. She's just going to be... I am dreading the hormones. As soon as she hits puberty, I'm leaving home. I'm going to go move to Alaska, somewhere where she can't fuck, because she's just going to be hell on earth, I think, to be honest with you.
Oh, you wouldn't do that. But girls are, I don't even know, because I have one that she's crazy. I swear, she's crazy. She really is.
It may well be a girl thing, yeah.
Yeah, she's loud and you know, but I wasn't like that as a kid. I really wasn't, so I don't know where she gets it. she's just loud and crazy, and she's this hurricane, and I mean, there are certain traits that she has that she's just so strong, and I kind of look up to them. They're really, you know, because I don't know. She's not a people pleaser, we'll just say, you know.
That's good.
At the same time, it was hard, you know, parenting her because she was just this huge personality. She really was. And we would get into screaming matches, and she could scream louder than me. That was, you know.
My goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a loud voice, so I would try and I would fail.
I think the scary thing with my daughter is she's a mini me. You know, when she'll come out with something and it's just me coming straight back at me, and it's jarring, you know, because you're about to come back at her and you think, oh, she's got that off me. Yeah, she'll even say, she'll, you know, I'll pull her up on something. Well, I blame you, Daddy. I got that from you.
Oh, that's,
you know,
great.
And then she'll say to Mum, Daddy, I, you know, she'll say something, Mother will pick her up, because the mother's a little less lenient than I am, and then she'll throw me right under the, but Daddy taught me that. You little bitch, how could you?
I love her. I do. We have to get her back on the show. Do we have to wait until summertime to do that? Or?
Well, no. If we're going to be on over the Christmas break. It's her last week next week, so she'll be off for a couple of weeks. So we will.
Awesome.
She's itching to come back on. She's got her own jingle sorted out and everything, so she will be on.
Oh.
You've been warned. You have been warned.
I can't wait. She's great. She's going to replace you one of these days.
More than welcome. She's probably far more entertaining and well, I would say a bit more foul-mouthed than I am, actually. So she's
I don't
used to
believe
that.
I mean,
oh,
God,
she
I hope.
Is.
Yeah.
She's got a foul mouth on her. Foul mouth.
Well,
I don't know where she gets it from.
No,
kids
I don't,
kids
I don't
at
either.
School. It's funny, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you. When we were kids and your parents would say, oh, you've picked out from somebody at school. My daughter is that somebody at school. She's the one that kids pick all the crap up from. But I was kind of proud. You know, she knows the word cocaine. She knows what it is. She knows it's a bad thing. Or as Donald Trump say, a bad, bad thing. Which is great. You know, you can never start with that shit too early. That I'm proud of, you know. So you don't closet your kids, people, you know. But anywho, that's the educational part of the show over and done with. So what have we got going on this evening, Medea?
We have our first guest, Jacob Floyd, and I again worked on his book that he's going to be talking about, The Pleasure Hunt, and it was amazing, and I'm excited about that book. I'm excited to talk to him about it because it and I also I have to tell him how great of a job he did. Just, you know, I was editing it and I went for pages and pages thinking, okay, is this a joke? Is this already been edited? What's going on here? You know, am I just reading this? So that was really cool.
Tell you what, let's bring him on and you can jolly well tell him yourself. Are you there, sir?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, Jacob, how are you?
Pretty good.
Good, good, good. So, Xtina has something to say to you.
Yeah. I already messaged him all this stuff, but I was so impressed with how clean it was, and really, I would go for pages and pages and find, like, one tiny thing that I had to correct, and, you know, there were many times that I thought, I'm getting paid for this, really? This is kind of cool, you know, I'm just reading. It was good, and I really enjoyed it too.
I must admit. I mean, obviously, we're in a happy position of being able to read, read these things before that. And what awesome piece of literature! You know, it gripped me literally from the first line, and it was wow. You know, it's not for the faint of heart. It's, you know, for me, it's what 50 Shades of Grey should have been, to tell you the truth.
Well,
you know, it's
appreciate that.
Jacob, it's you know, credit where it's due. So, you know, I mean, you pull no punches, you're straight into the action, and again, I'm choosing my words carefully so I don't, you know, spoiler alert, but you take us along the journey with the protagonist into his own obsession and madness. And he's just, you know, you sort of fear for your sanity coming out of the other end. You know?
Yeah, that's part of why I decided to write it in first person present tense. I don't usually write first person, but I figured that sort of book, kind of the obsession that he had, was really important. So I figured it was best to write it that way so people could really get brought into it.
No, definitely. It worked. I think it was all the richer for that, because you were living it for the guy, and he doesn't have a happy time of it. You know, it's
definitely. And the fact that we're in his head, and you're hearing the obsession, and you're hearing this because we're in his head. But we know that this is not normal. He's definitely, you know, but he had no idea. You know, that's what I thought was so cool, is that it was done so well.
Well, I think, I mean, that is the thing with anyone who has, you know, an obsessive behavior or an addiction. To that person, that's normal. That's your behavior. That is normal.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see it as being irrational. That's the way your brain is happening to work. And, you know, you find that these people have a natural way of rationalizing their actions.
Yeah.
So to him, he doesn't, they say, you know, the most insane people don't see that they're insane, you know, and he doesn't see. It's just, and because it tends to be progressive, and who hasn't had their head turned by a, you know, sexy, sultry stranger, you know, it's happened to us all. So, yeah,
I know. Yeah, a hot blonde chick walks down the street. I'm what? Wait.
Steady on.
I think another thing that I tried to stick in there is, like, because to show that it was sort of like a supernatural enchantment, so to speak, there were times where he has brief moments of clarity, and he would say, you know, like when he was talking to one character who had experienced it before, he had said, you know, I know that to himself, he had said, listening to this man's words helped him understand, you know, that he's probably right, and this creature has got a hold on me. But then something would always happen. It would turn around almost like she had that hold, and he would be like, oh, no, you're wrong. She really doesn't mean to do me harm, kind of thing.
So what was your inspiration for the pleasure hunt?
Well, initially, I just kind of thought, I was reading an article about how people are becoming sort of alienated by social media and other internet things, such as dating sites, such as, you know, different sorts of interactive, websites. And I was initially, it was really just going to be a psychological thriller. It was just going to be about a guy who ends up meeting somebody, and she's perfectly, like, human, but she's really psycho. But at the same time, I was kind of really getting into reading a lot of occult stuff. And then I started reading about the succubi creatures. And
yeah.
I also started reading stuff from the Zohar that, you know, and all that. And it just kind of progressed. And it wasn't even going to have that erotic element in it at first. But then as I read more and more about that, I'm like, well, it wouldn't make sense if I didn't have that in there. So it was kind of just evolved.
I have to say, because I don't get the blurb beforehand. I'm just reading. So I spent a lot of time trying to guess what she was. You know, I'm like, is she a vampire? Okay, wait, no. Is she, you know, so I'm like trying to guess with it, you know, is she just a human? Like, it was kind of cool for me in that aspect and not really knowing. So I like that.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing, like the vampire legends are kind of tied into the succubi, but also with certain beliefs about in the Zohar about Lilith being an ancient being, I kind of gave them a little more than just the succubus sort of appeal. She's really like one of the original beings, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. I loved the lore. I did. That was great. I want to hear the reading. We have a reading, don't we, Jacob?
Yes.
I jolly well hope so, yes.
All right, I started on chapter 5 because I thought the way it starts kind of captures the story, and the way it ends kind of gives you a good idea of what's going on. So I'm going to start reading it now. Beginning of chapter 5, it says, "Sleep is restless as the morning sun struggles into the sky. I wake numerous times to see the bright day setting in. Once the night is vanquished and the onslaught of dawn has taken control, I drop into a blackened slumber as still as death. It feels like mere seconds until my eyes open again. My room is dark, and I think I have slept all day and into the night. Luckily, I am off work today, but despite the length of time I was asleep, I do not feel entirely rested. My insides feel cold, but my skin hot. My mind is light and hazy. My body stiff and heavy. Great, I'm getting sick. I shouldn't have gone back to that rancid garage a second time. Now my thoughts turn back to Dark Dance, and everything inside me begins to melt. I don't want to think about that, so I decide to get up and do something that might take my mind off of her, if there is such a thing capable of accomplishing that. When I try to rise, something holds me in place, limiting my ability to move. The warm spray of fear flows into my spirit. When I look towards my window and see the same opaque blackness that swallows the room, I realize there is no window. Even at night, I can usually see the light of the moon or the faint glow of a faraway streetlight coming through. Maybe headlights from the road to the west. Instead, I see nothing. This isn't my room. My frenzied mind races to rationalize the situation. Have I been drugged? Is someone really in my apartment too clever for me to see? Was I kidnapped? Is it the men who drive the Rolls Royce? Is the man who is on the other bench connected? I don't have time to work it out before a distant screech begins to roll my way. It starts as a slight scratch somewhere in the darkness, but soon swirls into a discernible high-pitched scream. As it streams towards me, I hear the hellish echo that trails it and cannot imagine what created the sound? A giant harpy, a legion of owls, a frequency designed to shatter a man's mind? Soon nothing exists beyond the shrill, rattling scream. It fills me, making my muscles twitch and my eyes bounce in their sockets. As the scream wraps its fiery tongue around my brain, I begin to scream back. Blue and yellow sparks glitter in my vision from the irresistible force resonating around the room. My incapacitated body starts to dance so hard that I fear my bones will snap. Blood drips from my ears as the claws of this unrelenting cacophony tear into them, digging through the canal, skewering my eardrum. My skull becomes too small to contain my brain, and I know I will die any second, frozen in this beastly terror emanating from the enigmatic squeal. Just before my cranium implodes like an animal in a microwave, the scream begins to subside, pulling away in the ebb of an angry tide. All the cramps and spasms in my body unwind as my existence is granted clemency by this unseen horror. I muster enough valor to speak to the ominous darkness. Hello? A soft, feminine laugh flutters on the air. I jerk my head towards it but see nothing. Who's there? The giggle circles me for a moment, hangs above me, sits beneath me, and flows right into my ear as if the mouth rests beside my head. Fear of this wild unknown begins to settle in. I want to believe this is a dream, but I know the difference between the separated reality of a dream and the tangibility of the living world. Vividness is the deciding factor. Everything I hear is in full detail, and I can feel my waking breath within me. I am aware of the little aspects of being alive the dreamer is not. My breathing, the blinking of my eyes, the clenching of my fingers, the movement of my hair. I am aware of the white noise in the silent room, and the rolling static of invisible energy one can see in the absence of light. Those things exist here, but not in the land of Nod. It is apparent that I fell asleep sliding down the precipice of sheer exhaustion and have now wakened as the captive of some screaming lunatic. Whoever you are, show yourself. I try in feeble fashion to call out my captor. After long seconds of silence, I hear whispers across the room, several that seem to pour over one another, clamoring to be heard, but unraveling in unison, making them hard to discern. But I don't need to hear the words to know the voice. It's the voice that shakes my soul, making my heart beat hard and then hurt harder. When I reconcile that Dark Dance is the owner of the voice, my hurting heart begins to heal with hope, and I feel my face smile in the dark. Dark Dance, is that you? Why am I strapped down? The whispers continue between long intervals and become single sentences that mock me. You now belong to me. You live to serve me. You will worship me. I will drag you into my abyss, you inferior male, so pathetic and weak. I own you. I will break you. You are nothing compared to me. I am your world now. The words wind around me, coiling like a serpent, slithering down my neck, digging fangs into my chest and injecting the poison into my heart. Once the venom is in me, only Dark Dance can remove it. Her words ring true. I am hers. I call out for help that I know will not come. I struggle again against the force that binds me but cannot budge its iron grasp. Metal clangs against metal as I try to move side to side, rocking whatever I lie upon. I pause when I hear a loud clicking somewhere in the darkness near where the scream came from. Pale blue light begins to seep in at the far end of the room. A silhouette of a woman stands in the foreground of this familiar strange moonlight. The wind beyond the doorway roars as the light begins to fade to red like the world is burning. The silhouette starts to settle slowly into the room while the red light grows bigger. A blast of heat bursts in on her footsteps. The figure comes into the antechamber of the large room and stares at me. Another roar sounds from outside and the entire room is bathed in the crimson glow. The room is revealed to me, very large, made of some sort of rock. The table I lie on is to the right of the hallway from where the woman entered. The red light blazing down the tunnel unveils its length, being not as long as the screen made it. Made me think it would be. I can see the end clearly from where I am held prisoner. All other details are insignificant next to the ultimate one before me. Dark dances the woman in the room. When my eyes meet her face, I feel the burden of the ties against me disappear and I'm able to stand. I walk to her and open my mouth, but she lifts a hand to silence me. Words invade my mind. Do not speak to me. I remain mute. She lowers her hand quickly and I am cast to the floor motionless once again. With a finger to her mouth, she grins as her voice continues to crawl within me. Another mouse caught in my trap, she laughs. I am like the cat in the shadows, waiting to hear you squeal. She flicks her finger and my clothes are ripped from my body. She pulls off her sunglasses and lets them fall into the darkness. After dropping to her hands and knees, she says, only I am no cat. I am a far greater breed of predator. Her eyes begin to turn yellow as her jaw grows longer. She sinks lower to the floor and begins to wiggle. But her terror from what I see causes my bladder to expel itself without my consent. What are you? I ask, shaking with fright. I am a princess of beasts. I walk the realms of the dead. I stand before the fire and I rain from the sky at night. I am the howling wind in the devil's hour. I am a liberator of women and eater of men. One of the mistresses of the night from the ancient world of Thea, realm of the moon, and you shall face my trials. Her metamorphosis continues. Her mouth stretches to the floor. A thick, menacing black tongue slithers out of her throat and wraps itself around my ankles, squeezing so hard I cannot move them. To my immense horror, I am then pulled slowly into her mouth, not veiled by my clawing at the floor. She clamps down on my shins, her mighty jaws grinding my bones into dust. I scream, begging her to let me go, but her mouth reopens and I can see that my legs are long gone, leaving behind blood-gushing stumps. The tongue from deep inside her pulls me onward into her ravaging mouth. I wiggle and thrash, trying to break free, but her mouth closes on my waist, crushing everything beneath it, causing me to retch in agony. I grab for something to hold onto, but there is nothing. Even if there were, the pain is so terrific that I would be left impotent to wield it. Please, Dark Dance, don't do this. The tongue stops pulling me down into her hungry gullet. I lay with my torso wrapped in her lips. My body is then pierced by long, thick, sharp digits that plunge deep into my flesh. I cry out as she begins to grind her teeth into my body and chew. My skin tears and rips from my bones, all the tissue obliterated by giant razors and sucks painfully down into the darkness of her hunger. Although I am nearly numb from the torture, I continue to twitch and flail towards escape, but there is no rending me from the cruel grip of her maw. The struggle will only bring you greater pain. Submit to me, for at the end of this suffering awaits great ecstasy, she says inside my mind. Her words bring me a sense of comfort, a lull in the nerve-shattering torment I feel from her mouth. My body is so tired from the pain that I don't want to fight anymore, so her command becomes an excuse to relent. I am already shredded. What do I have left to cling to? So I stop struggling and say, finish me. I'm yours. And that's where I
wow.
Enter there.
That is intense. Obviously, we know what happens next, so that is intense stuff. Buy the book, people, if you want to know what happens. That is fantastic. You know, beautifully read as well, sir. Beautifully read.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
So, look, the supernatural element and everything, you know, we have to ask, you're a ghost hunter, correct?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. I can't hear you.
Am I breaking up? Sorry, you're a bit of a ghost hunter in your spare time.
Oh, yes, my wife and I do ghost huntings, and we have two ghost tours in the local area.
Excellent. So have you, I mean, what, you're going to have to tell us some of your most bizarre experiences. Have you met ghosts and otherworldly beings?
We have seen some pretty strange stuff. We're a little different than, we do things a little differently than a lot of the ghost hunters that people see. We're kind of like, we don't have like a big whole bunch of stuff. We don't set up a nerve center, and that's fine. We just do that because it's just, we pursue a different path. There's nothing, we don't have anything against that way. But we like to just kind of take pictures and use a spirit box and, video. And we go into a lot of graveyards and abandoned places and hotels. We kind of do things like in the moment. And we've captured some interesting pictures. I always try to debunk things before I say it's a ghost, but also realize that even if something has an explanation, that doesn't necessarily mean the explanation is what it is. We've seen some stuff in some graveyards, and we did a paranormal investigation, public paranormal investigation of a church that's on our Louisville tour. And a lot of people caught different things, voices and pictures of strange shapes and mists. And I don't know, it takes a lot of looking and, you know, examining to realize if this is a ghost or just a spot on the camera. But I think the best picture I feel like we got was probably taken in a cemetery out here called Eastern Cemetery. it's really hard to explain it away because it's just like a form in the middle of broad daylight, a misty form, and it's right in the middle of the picture. And it's not a smudge because that image isn't on any other pictures, and it's just really bizarre.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, are you a cynic? Are you, you know, do you believe in ghosts and spirit world and all of that? I mean, where do you stand on that?
I'm kind of in the middle. I've seen enough stuff to realize that there's something paranormal. There's something too paranormal. Now, it might be something that science explains 50, 60, 70 years from now. Ghosts and paranormal might become a science of its own. I also have my bouts of skepticism because sometimes I just think, well, what if none of it is? But I've seen and heard too much weird stuff. Like I saw, my wife and I saw a black mist on the stairs one time. We were up the stairs, and there's no explanation for something like that that I could think of with our own eyes. So I know there's something there. And so, yeah, I'm in the middle. Like, I believe that there is something, although I don't know what.
I guess, you know, when you're faced by a, you know, a spectral being from another plane, then you'll know which side of the fence to come down on.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. So you and your wife get to do that. So you're sort of the modern day Ed and Lorraine Warren, yeah?
Yeah, that's exactly who, like, we are kind of, that's who we kind of feel like we relate more to. The Ed and Lorraine Warren are the people who, like, we like their methods. And it's actually very similar to that because I believe that my wife is like Lorraine in the sense that she has abilities to kind of pick up on that. And by saying mm-hmm. that, I mean, like, when we would go out looking for, we would just go places and look around and ask people, do you know of any haunted places? Well, there's been several times when we've been driving somewhere and we've been going past a building, and my wife will say, she'll say, you know, I feel like that probably has a ghost in it. You should go in there and talk to them. I go in there and talk to them every single time.
Oh, wow.
A very detailed ghost story. Not just, oh, yeah, we've had some footsteps. No, it's very detailed.
Wow.
And it's she doesn't know these people from Adam or Eve, you know, and so it's just, and that's not the only thing she's exhibited signs, but I mean, yeah, I mean, when you see it happening, you know, I mean, someone else who doesn't know us might say he's full of crap, but I know, and I've seen it, you know, and so it's pretty cool stuff.
Fan of any of the Ghost Hunter shows? Like, do you watch any of them?
I have, and I know what people say about a lot of them, you know, especially like, my wife and I personally, we like Ghost Adventures, we like Zach Bagans, well, I know a lot of people don't, but, I mean, they say, oh, he makes a lot of stuff up, they stage stuff, whatever, and even if they do, it's for TV, but whatever, I still think Zach is a real ghost hunter, and the important thing about shows like that, especially is they find some of the most remote, out-of-the-way places, and you learn a lot about their history and their ghost mm-hmm. story. So that's all right. Go ahead.
No, I love Ghost Hunters. I do. I love Jason, and I forget who else is on that show, but I used to love that show. I really did. And, you know, I would watch some of them, and there were certain things that would happen that would have me going, how do they do that? Which is so stupid because, you know, with camera tricks and everything, you can do anything. So I don't know why I was surprised, but I think I'm
well, those shows are always, they always, I mean, they have them in England. There's a popular one in England. I think it's still going. It's actually on its eighth season. It is, I mean, it's just, it's all in the dark. And obviously they've got the night vision on the cameras. It's all green and spooky. And they've got somebody behind it. They slam a door and that's like a 20-minute section of the show. And it's one
right.
of the crew who slammed the door. You know, and people love this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It's just so hokey, it's untrue, you know.
Do either one of you remember, there was a show on MTV years and years ago, it was just called Fear. Does anybody remember that show?
I remember one of the things, they went to a castle, they're supposed to be the gateway to hell or something. I remember that MTV show, yeah.
That was so good. I think it only lasted like a season and a half, and then it was just gone. And they didn't even explain to us why or what happened to it or anything. And I have to tell you, I was thinking, oh, my God, somebody got possessed and died. Or, you know, I mean, I was thinking the worst, and I think that made it even...
Although,
it so
I think, to be fair, it was probably ratings. To be
shut up.
No,
shut up.
Nobody was watching it, so they pulled it.
No,
I'm sure
everybody was watching it. Something horrible happened. I'm never going to change my opinion on that. Something awful happened.
Well, there you go. There you go. Mm.
Well, yeah, most of those TV shows, they need to get ratings, so, you know, they have to do something. But I like where they come up with the history and this ghost story. That's my favorite part of it. So they're still doing research. Like, granted, they probably got to set things up to keep their show on the air, but, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they're, I mean, like you say, it's the stories behind it that make it. You know, they can build up the – and whether they, you know, hokey and using fishing line and that to slam doors, it doesn't matter. They've got a good story behind it. Certainly,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Speaking,
yeah.
You know, all writers together, you know, this is where a lot of our you know, base material comes from, I guess.
Yep. Yeah, it comes
you know,
from a lot
it's,
of
oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we all like our backstories.
Being that you're a kind of a ghost hunter, are you going to write about maybe ghosts or something that you know, reading about ghosts? I think that's one of my worst fears is like some kind of ghost story or even demons or something that really freaks me out. So, but yeah, what do you? I guess what I'm working on is what are you? Where I'm getting at here is what are you working on now?
My wife and I do have ghost books about ghost stories we've researched online and actually got from people. So we do have those out. And as far as what I'm working on fiction wise, it's not a ghost thing right now, and something totally different. But yeah, I definitely have ideas for that. So, and you know, the real life stories and the experiences sort of inspire other good stories. You know, so
yeah, definitely. Oh, so I don't mean to, I was going to say I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I do mean to put you on the spot. Do you have an embarrassing story?
She's putting you on the spot. You are on the spot. Very much so.
That's okay. yeah, actually, had a pretty, like, speaking of the ghost stuff, right, well, we had developed one tour in a town called Shepherdsville out here, and that was our first tour, and then we started another one in downtown Louisville. And the Shepherdsville one, it always went pretty smooth, but this first Louisville one, it was kind of a disaster. My wife and I had done a lot of research, a lot of interviews, talking to people, and I had so many notes. And I was, you know, trying to get them done. You know, of course, life is in the way. You got work and all this other stuff going on. So it got close to the first tour date, and I was typing them up, you know, coming up with them. And I screwed up a bunch of stuff really bad. And I mixed a lot of I mixed a few stories together. And actually screwed up some history as well. So the first tour, I'm telling this history, right? And I get one guy's name wrong, and I get the war he fought in wrong. Because, you know, Colonel William Preston was something to do with it. I'd forgotten what I'd called him. I'd called him, like, James Preston. I don't even remember what it was. It was something really screwy and stupid, not even close to his name. And I said that he was fought in the French and Indian War, but I said he fought in the Revolutionary War. And it was just really bad. And then we got down to one of the spots, and there's two spots really close together. And so I was telling the story, and I had the owner of one in the wrong building, and then I was talking about a ghost that was in one of the buildings that was actually in another building down the way. And then when I got to that building, I started telling that same story again, and people were looking at me like I'm dumb, right? So I get down to one of the last stops, and it's a really kind of a loud place. And there's some drunk people hanging out, you know, and they're hollering at us, and I can't really hear anything. And so I'm like, I've just totally stopped, and I can't remember what I'm trying to say. And then so I kept my notes in my hand, right? So I started trying to flip through them and look at them, and they all just kind of fell out of my hand and scattered all over the street. And they were blowing around, and it looked like a real slapstick, you know, sort of Lucy moment, I guess. But yeah, it was really bad. But I guess they got their money's worth comedy-wise. But it certainly improved after that. So I was like, you know, I really screwed up. We're going to do this again next time.
Yeah, you could have worked on that, you know, comedy ghost tours, you know, what a great idea.
I know. Well, you know, and luckily none of those people left a review for that one, but we got nothing but good reviews otherwise. So, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, we are just about out of time for our first segment. Can you tell us where we can find you online, Jacob?
Oh, yeah, I have a Facebook page. It's just Jacob Floyd, author. I have a Twitter that's at author J.A. Floyd, I believe is what it is. And, of course, I've got a author's page on Hellbound Books Publishing's site. I don't have one of my own yet, but I'm working on that. So.
Awesome. And we do have all your links put up on the Panic Room Facebook page, so if anybody wants to stalk in, then go ahead and do it there. And
thank you
so much for coming on the show, and I can't wait for the book to... Is it live already?
It's live and available, live and kicking tomorrow. Tomorrow is the official launch date, but as I said, so you're a little bit sneaky. It's there. You can get it. So buy the book, people. It is a cracking read. Definitely. So, yeah, it's there. It's on all the usual places and where you'd expect to find good books. So, that's the thing. Buy it and read it, and it's good.
Thank
you,
Jacob.
Thank you so much for joining us, Jacob. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Great to finally get to chat to you.
Yeah. That's besides just through IMs, right?
Okay, right. Jacob. Hang around. We've got more stuff going on later, and we're going to have a break, and we will be. I presume we'll be back.
I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill.
gosh. Well, there you go. I could not resist. That cheers me up. Just a little spring in my step. Do you know, I was just thinking what a great film Deliverance was. I mean, you know, for
yeah.
as long as it is. I really, if Hollywood are listening, don't remake it. Seriously, do not, because they have Dwayne Johnson in it, they have The Rock in it, obviously, and it'd be shit. Do not, it is a classic. Leave it the fuck alone, Hollywood. Okay. And I was just thinking, I mean, it's funny. We watch it in this house because my wife has your family's from sort of that area of deepest darkest Tennessee, and we watch it so she can, you know. It's a documentary in her family, to be honest with you. And what are the odds? What are the odds of, you know, the guy just coming across the boy on the porch and he knew what song he was playing? So I'm not sure what the odds were there. It'd be interesting to find out. But hey, I got a joke for you. I got a joke for you that my boy told me earlier. Would you like to hear it? Yes,
definitely.
Jim.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes,
okay.
Same.
It's more,
I would never
it's
call
more
you
of a riddle. Yes, Jay. Call me Jay. Call me Sir. It's more of a riddle. Okay. What has 200 legs and one pubic hair?
I have no idea. What's the answer?
The front row of a Justin Bieber concert. Ba bum.
Oh.
Oh.
That's awful.
Oh.
That is
a lot of
so
studio
awful.
Studio audience enjoyed it, so there.
That was awful. It really, really
so,
was.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And so, we should have. What happens now? I've no idea.
Becky, you can't forget. Becky did it once and she never let you listen.
I'm only teasing. It's hopefully she's on the line. Hopefully, it
right?
is Becky the viewer. Are you there?
I am.
There she is.
Oh,
I am.
Take your time. Take your time. We've got all night. God's sake.
Well,
Jenna,
you cannot
get the staff. You really can't. So how are you this evening, Becky the reviewer? Are you good?
I'm good.
Good.
You had to think about it first.
Well, that was brief yet informative. Thank you. So tell me, Becky, what have you got to review for us this evening?
Well, I'm actually not going to review anything. I'm just kind of going to talk about.
So you're
a
so
book
you're,
that,
you're just you're just Becky the tonight then. That's it, just Becky.
Yeah.
You are supposed to review
I'm
shit.
Just,
you know that. Hmm?
Yeah, but I was being naughty and I'm not reviewing anything.
Okay,
I
so what
see
are we
where
talking
this is
about? Yeah, right.
Well, the anthology that I put together and you edited.
Ooh.
The
okay.
big book of
who did
the image?
Xtina edited. It was amazing.
I was going to say I didn't.
No,
I did nothing.
Well, you. No, it's the one that Xtina and I did, and the by invitation only one, and I'm telling you, it was amazing to put together. It was so much fun, and the stories are absolutely out of this world. I love them.
There were some really, really good stories. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thanks for that. That was great. That was
I was going to say, do you want me to review a book? I just finished a really good one.
Not one of your better
well,
ones, to be honest, Becky, but I have to say, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's all for charity, obviously.
Yes,
and
it is.
We've got Jack Ketchum in there. We've got Edward Lee. We've got some absolutely stonking authors in there. Richard Chismar and his son Billy.
Jeff Strand is in it. He's one of my favorite authors. He is. So
David Owen Hughes, and a personal favorite of mine, me. I'm in it.
You are, and your story
was
amazing.
Bloody
yes.
well am.
Yes,
I loved your story.
So you know, so it's one of my favorite stories, actually.
are the Ray Garten and Wade Garrett are also in it.
Yep. It's bulging. It's bulging with goodness. I mean, it's just some abs. And I mean, you know, it's probably unfair of me to pick out, but bulging. Yeah. So it's not as good as twitching. And no twitching going on. I have to say. Although, moving on. Not at this time of night. certainly, I mean, Jack Ketchum is an idol of mine. I love Jack's work. We've got to get him on the show.
I'm trying. Yeah.
Edward Lee inspired me to write Bizarro. I mean, just picking out two personal favourites of mine. But and it is all proceeds do go to Hilarity for Charity. Shall I say that again? Hilarity for Charity, which is actually Seth Rogen's Alzheimer's charity. So a good cause. A good cause.
Yes. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that Richard Chismar and Billy Chismar's story of theirs they wrote together that has been published.
It's actually in the book. It's actually the screenplay that they made a short movie from it, which is not out yet, but it does actually have a cameo by Stephen King. So that'll be a good one. But it's a damn good read. It's a really, it will creep you the fuck out, and it's a really creepy little story. So all good stuff. All good stuff.
It was a lot of fun to put together.
When you're ready. So I think Becky's nodding off between conversations. She just wake up.
No.
Dear me. Dear God.
You know, I'll have a book to review next week if you she's fallen down on the job,
Yeah, could you?
I had one ready this week. I finished a really amazing book, and I've been torturing. Okay, I've been torturing my boyfriend with every book that I read, and he doesn't even like horror. So I tell him all about these books, and he just, pretty much rolls his eyes and stuff. And so I finished a book called Dweller, and it was by Jeff Strand, and he normally writes horror and stuff. But this was a really good book, and it wasn't well. I don't know. I can't classify what it was, but it was really good, and it had me sobbing at the end, which is just, it was so good. It really was. Could I just say
that part of the conversation would have been better had you stopped at "I've been torturing my boyfriend." I mean, nothing more needed to be said after that. To be honest, you could have just left it there, left it hanging. Let us make our own story up from there. That was good.
I'll remember that for next week.
Thank you. But hey, okay. I mean, speaking of torturing people, what a neat segue that is. We're gonna have to say goodbye to Becky because we have our next guest, which is Christina Bergling, who personally I'm really, really looking forward to chatting to. So try and review something next week, Becky. Okay, if you can. It's not too much bother. Could you do that? Could you just pick up a book, read it, review it? Yes, or just make something up. Just review the cover, whatever. We could do that, perhaps.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'll be a good girl.
Thank you. That's great. Thank you. Okay, we will await bated breath next week. And thank you for joining us. We will speak to you next week when you review something.
Thank you, Becky.
Hello. Okay. Oh, dear, mate. Seriously. okay, right. I've been looking forward to this part. Christina, are you there, Mom?
Yes, I am.
Yay!
Hello. Yay! It is an honour to finally get to speak to. We have guests on who, I've emailed and corresponded that way, but it's always nice to actually speak to someone. There's not enough speaking in today's society. Everything is done by emails and whatnot and texting and that. Not enough speaking. Although, to be fair, in my daughter's case, there's too much speaking. So there's got to be a balance somewhere. So, Christina.
Well, thank you for having me.
thank you so much for joining us this evening, the authoress extraordinaire of The Waning, which is probably one of the best books I've read this year, I have to say, except my own, obviously.
Obviously, seriously.
But it's a great, I don't know, it's a body horror, it's psychological horror, it's, how would you describe it?
I would go with psychological horror. I've had a friend call it torture porn. So
nice. I have to read it now.
Yeah. Oh, you have to. It is. It really stuck with me. It's one of those that you think about afterwards. I'm having to choose my words. Don't want to spoil it for people. If you want to know what happens, people buy the book. She's ordering it on Amazon as we speak, is XD. What was the inspiration? I mean, we were talking to Jacob earlier about getting into the protagonist's head, and you do this incredibly well. I mean, it's frightening. You know, you're going through this with this poor woman. Where was your inspiration for this?
Well, the book actually started as like a 10-page sort of short fiction thing, where the entire book was 10 pages long, and it just popped in my head.
Wow.
After watching and absolutely hating 50 Shades of Grey. So it popped in my head after that, and then I stretched it into a novella.
Wow!
Excellent. And talking about 50 Shades, and we're not fans of E.L. James on this show, I have to say.
I try to be really diplomatic, because we have a bunch of guests who are on the show who love E.L. James. So I try not to say anything. The only thing that I have actually said on the show is just that I kept waiting for Christian to bite Anna, because I knew it was fan fiction of Twilight, so I just assumed he was a vampire. And you know, I think I was well, you know, toward the end of the book where I was like, well, I guess he's not a vampire, he's not going to bite her. I was very disappointed.
Well, I read it, and I was expecting something to happen.
Right.
The most exciting bits for me was where she was working in the hardware store and stock taking nuts and bolts and such, and that was probably the most gripping part of the whole book, to be honest.
Yeah.
Did either one
of you watch the movie? Because I kind of liked the movie. I did because it was kind of funny. There was comedic parts in it, and that's what I liked about it. I thought whoever the actress is who played Anna really did her in a funny way, and so I found myself laughing through it.
Isn't it? That's Melanie Griffiths and Don Johnson's daughter, isn't it?
Dakota
Johnson.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I'm not with the actress.
I haven't even seen the film, and I know that. You know, but I could not bring myself to see the film because the book was so dreadful. Thank you. Yeah, and I'm going to also not watch the other two. So, because life really is far too short. But and again, I said the same to I mean, Christina, you need to read Jacob's book, and Jacob, who's hopefully still listening, needs to read Christina's book. You know, you both, you know, get into the protagonist's head so incredibly well, and you both have produced, you know, works that are really where, you know, E.L. James should have read your books before she actually put pen to paper, and then hopefully she wouldn't have put pen to paper. you know, because, yeah, I mean, I don't want to give too much away. I mean, give us a quick precis. Is that all right? Is that a correct word? If not, it is now, of the book. And then we're going to have the reading, because we need the reading.
All right. Well, the basic idea is that a woman gets abducted in the parking lot after work, wakes up in a cage, and then goes through what we assume are months of systematic torture by one individual. And it's told in first and second person, so she's speaking to her captor the entire time.
Oh, I am sold. Where can I get this book now?
Amazon?
Can I start it tonight?
Yes, you can. Actually, yes, you can. You can order it and buy it and read it. Yes.
I'm sold. That sounds. You know,
I mean, the style for me was almost like a I guess a mental diary. And she said she's having that conversation with her abductor, who really is unlike, again, picking up 50 Shades here, where we have the two characters and Christian Grey was obviously a big part of it. In The Waning, the abductor is almost a ghostly type of character. He's almost, he's there, but not, you know, I'm trying to explain it. I mean, how do you explain it, Christine? He's not a person. He's a thing. He's a almost like a monster, imaginary thing made real.
Yeah, it's very much fair
assessment.
Just dropped in the stimulus, and then everything happens in her head.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows what he wants just by, I guess, trial and error and by learning. And he does what he does, and there's some absolutely genuinely toe-curling moments that just had me cringing in my chair in a good way.
Wow.
You know, and you write those far too well, I have to say.
I was asked after it came out if I had ever spent some time abducted.
Yikes.
Funnily enough, I was going to ask you if you'd ever actually abducted someone.
I have never abducted anyone. I have never been abducted unless I've like blocked it out completely.
A spokesman for Christina Bergling said today, I deny everything.
it wasn't
me. No,
you
can't prove shit.
A couple of years ago in the like erotica, genre there, they went through a phase where there was a bunch of the abducted, this rich millionaire kidnaps a girl and she ends up falling in love with him and stuff. And I'm taking it this is nothing like that.
No, I made
a very clear effort to make it like a non-romantic, non-sexual sort of situation. I wanted it to be Stockholm Syndrome, kind of from like a survival perspective.
Awesome. I definitely have to read this now. But if it made James squeamish, I might not want to start reading it at night because I'm kind of bored.
It'll just be a fast read then.
Again, not giving anything away. Christina knows exactly which parts I'm talking about. But the bit that stuck, it was the psychological part of it. Same if it was as Jacob managed to do, was to create that swirling insanity inside somebody's head and stick the reader right in the middle of it. And that was just, it was just like, wow.
Well, I want to hear the reading. Do you have a reading for us, Christina?
I do have a reading for you.
Yay!
Go for it.
All right. Okay. Breathe. Breathe. Just do what he wants. Just get through it and do what he wants. I knew you could hear the fear in my breathing now. I couldn't hide it or control it. My body was trembling from my fingertips teasing at the cold chain to my flinching toes pressing into the cold concrete floor. My muscles quivered below my skin. My organs shuddered inside my bones. What was coming? I didn't know if I wanted to know. You stepped out once more, then returned with a small table and a tray of surgical instruments. Clearly, all of these items had been carefully staged just outside my cell in preparation. Oh, fuck. I began to shake so hard, the links of the chain chimed against each other. My fear echoed in the small, bitter room. My mantra had lost all words and all meaning. Sense and planning had dissipated in my mind, and only the base instinct surfaced out of the fog. You were not affected by my deteriorating state. You did not acknowledge my emotions quivering on my skin. You simply kept to task, straightening the tools on the tray, pulling the table and the stool to the perfect angles. I felt your gloved fingertips lift my shirt to expose my midsection. My skin contracted from the caress of the air, from the exposure and vulnerability. Your hand then traced along the skin of my side, not in a sensual or seductive way, more meticulous, more with purpose. Searching for something. Your fingers slid along my rib, down around and over my hip, poking the skin, pulling it taut. Then they settled, hovered over one section draping my hip bone. They swirled over and over in the same pattern, creating a light heat. Then they retreated, and I heard you pull the instruments closer. I didn't want to look. My eyes welled up with quivering tears out of sheer fear. They twisted and bent the light pouring down from above me. I wished they could twist and bend the stab of my terror. You wanted me to stand here and take it. You wanted something from that fleshy portion of my side. I had nothing to do with it. I was the stand to hold it up to your purpose. I just had to make it through this. Then perhaps it would prove something to you, make me something worth keeping. I felt the first cut split my world, sending pain rippling through my brain. Every muscle on my skeleton flinched, tensed, curled up around the anguish. I felt my opposite foot tapping at the floor, trying desperately to draw the attention of my consciousness away from the sensation. I could hear the bare skin slapping nervously against the concrete as I tried to concentrate on that cold sensation on the sole of my foot rather than the pain opening the side of my body. The pain was so vivid crawling up my spine, as sharp as the scalpel parting my skin. I could feel the blood tracing the cut before spilling down the curve of my hip and soaking into the top of my pants. My body wanted to thrash and kick. A scream swelled my tongue. I felt my throat bulging with the sound as I nearly choked on it. I grasped at the shred of sanity being overwhelmed by the primal fight and flight, and I pushed. I shoved reason back down my throat, pounded my resolve through my veins. Take it. Just take it. My hands were clenching, trying to physically cling to the idea. Take it. Just take it. My fingernails dug into my palms until my fists quivered. I strained to focus my entire brain to resurrect it out of the pain assaulting my nerves and bring it back to purpose. The flesh was so compelling, though. Its pleas infected my brain as organic as the thoughts I formed. Why should I take it? How can I fucking take it? There is no way to please this motherfucker. It will never be enough. I will never be enough. He's taking my fucking skin. Taking it. Stealing it. Fuck this. I can't do this. I had to pull my shit together. Collapsing on myself would not unbind my wrists or wrench the scalpel from your hand. This was my only move. This was all I could do against you. I choked in a breath through my own stifled cries and blinked hard until my eyes emptied down my cheeks. I needed to go somewhere else. Guided meditation and breathing worked for childbirth, or so the straight women would tell me. If they could shove wriggling, splitting life through their vaginas, surely I could endure some unanesthetized minor surgery. I could do this.
Wow.
Ew. I'm squirming again.
You know,
intense stuff. And you're there with her, and, you know, I'm hurting now.
Yeah, you know, I don't read the readings ahead of time. I really don't. So I'm just there. You know, I'm here, and, you know, when you're reading it, and it's the first time for me, and wow, that was wow. And I heard you say that it was, you know, some of it was in, you know, second person, some first person. I heard that, but I didn't really process it, you know, and that is so cool. I mean, it reminded me of, have you ever read, and I mentioned this before on the show, You by Caroline Kepnes. She writes, that book was written in second person, and it's one of my favorites. So, you know, when you started reading and, you know, that was so cool. I have to read this book now. So I can find it on Amazon right now, right?
Yes, you can.
I think I might have to start that tonight. That was really good. Wow, when you read it, really
thank
good,
you.
Too. Yeah, and it does make me wonder, not that she's kidnapped anybody, but and you're sure you've never been kidnapped and you've never kidnapped anybody? I don't believe you. you did that
very, very person.
Yeah. Wow, that was good.
I told you it was a good one.
Yeah, you did, and I should always believe you. Every time you nudge me in a direction of something, it's always good. But anyway, I want to do 11 questions. Do we have our little jingle?
Do we? What jingle is that then? Oh, I've got to push a button. Do you know, I have to bloody do everything, mate. You know. God, you know, it's just... Yes, I have, of course not. Here we go.
And now, 11 questions.
Ready, Christina?
I'm ready.
Okay, number one, what's your guilty pleasure?
I like to watch shows that make me cry.
Like what shows? Have any in like, are you talking about like the Lifetime movies or something? Or
when I was pregnant with my daughter, I used to watch those shows where the soldiers would come home, and I would literally just cry the whole episode, and then I would watch another one.
I like that though. Okay, baked beans, ranch style or pork and beans?
No beans. Beans are gross.
I like that answer. I do.
Yeah. Boo. I like beans.
Puppies or kittens?
Puppies. I have two.
That's a good answer.
Yay.
Right there. People say kittens, and kittens, they have those freaking claws, and they'll claw you, and I'm not for kittens, no. What's your favorite lunch meat?
Turkey.
Oh. You lost me right there. That's it.
Oh.
Judging you just a little bit there.
Wrong lunch, mate.
Wrong
Sorry.
Answer. We have a buzzer, don't we? Or something.
I can't find it, to be honest.
You can't be bothered. That's more like it. Oh.
pretty much.
What was your first car?
1986 Toyota Corolla.
You knew that really fast, too. I mean, it took me forever. I think it took me, like, a bunch of shows before I could remember what the kind of car was. And I had to Google and everything. It was very embarrassing. I could just tell you the color. what do you fear most, snakes or spiders?
Spiders. They have too many legs.
Yes, and the hairy ones. Those are the creepy ones to me, the hairy, hairy ones. Oh, I can't do it.
Yeah, no.
Freddy, Jason, or Pinhead?
Ready.
Woo! Okay, anything but Pinhead. I know James hates this when I say it, but I wasn't a huge... Yeah, I know. And I still think we should include Michael Myers in this. I think I'm going to. I'm gonna start saying Michael Myers, too, because he definitely has to be in there. Don't you? You don't agree with me?
No.
He has to be included.
Crickets.
I don't believe.
You got to include him.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see, first draft, handwritten or word processor?
I've switched to using Word. It took a long time, but I'm finally there.
No, I can sign in my name. That's it. That's the only thing I will write. Just that's it. I should just start signing with a big old X now, too. That's what I should definitely do. And that's it. Favorite alcoholic drink?
Ooh, it's a tie between rum and coke and wine.
Wine.
You said the magic word there now.
I know. One interesting non-writing related fact about you.
Shouldn't be that hard to think of an interesting fact. I went to Iraq as a civilian.
Oh, wow. That is pretty cool. Yeah. And let's see. Oh, we have a bonus question. Baseball or stamp collection?
This sounds like the same thing.
And, you know, the funny thing is I just noticed how I say it, you know, because I want you to pick the right one. So I'm all like, baseball or stamp collection? Do you hear it? Did you hear it? I heard it just then.
Every week. You bias the vote. You bias the vote, which makes it null and void, actually. So there you go. Shot yourself in the foot.
Yeah, I just noticed I was doing it, but not everybody picks the right one anyway. So, and she obviously didn't. She thinks they both suck.
I do.
Yeah, clearly. I like my stamps. We're going to have, I think we could dedicate a whole show. So I'm going to get my stamps out and describe them.
In spring training, can we dedicate a whole show to baseball?
No.
No, I didn't think so. That's just mean. So, Will there be a sequel to this book, or do you know? I definitely don't want to know the ending or anything, but you know, what's next? What's in store next?
I think this is the end for the waiting. I don't think it would do well with the sequel. But I'm working on a novel with another author. It's my first time co-writing. So we're going to see how that goes.
How are you finding that? Are you finding it easy to work with another writer?
We decided to do like two different perspectives on the same story and alternate chapters. So I think that makes it easier since we're kind of in our own little areas. Mm-hmm. I feel like it would be really hard to co-write the whole thing, like the whole narrative.
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
I would not know where to start. I would end up falling out with somebody over the title, to be honest.
Years ago in the erotica community, there was two authors that I was kind of fans of, and they decided to co-write together. And they both went in different directions, and you know, it did split up the friendship, and they ended up publishing each book like separately, but the same story. It was really strange, but yeah, it broke up a friendship. They both wanted to go in different ways and couldn't decide on it, and they're not friends now. It's a very tragic story, so be careful.
Oh no. I guess it's the sort of thing
that
you've upset her now. Well done. I don't know. I think for me, it would have to be someone who's not a friend. You know, obviously somebody who I knew well enough to write with. But yeah, I wouldn't want to risk a friendship because it would probably come to blows, I think. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's you though. I think you know. So, I think some people could do it just fine. You know, we had those who are they? From Haunted Nights Live, Alistair and Tamara, and they write together all the time, but it's almost like they're one person. They are together continuously. You know, I realize she's married. I don't know. To me, that's just so weird. Like, I don't know.
No, she's not married to him. She's married to somebody
else. No, they're just
well,
friends.
There you go.
Yeah.
You live and learn. You live and learn. I did not know
that.
I thought, I assumed they were together. Well,
no,
Tamara.
No. She's married happily, well, you know, happily married to the same, you know, to this guy for like a really, really long time. I don't know, maybe he's like, you know, this is the perfect, you know, if she's with Alistair all the time, he doesn't have to deal with her. I don't know.
maybe he hates her. It's funny, I mean, back in England, she was our nanny for a while for my son when he was little, and she was like a semi-pro ballroom dancer. And obviously she had a partner, and it was funny. You go around to the house, and there's all these Christmas cards to her and her partner, you know, from people from her the ballroom environment. And it was like, and yeah, they were great. You know, they obviously loved each other, and they. But she had that world, and that was like her world. But yeah, all these Christmas cards, she'd get gifts from people to her and her partner, and it was like.
That would just
freak me out, you know, because
I'm
an unreasonable person, really, and
I'm
not very nice.
I'm a jealous person too, either. I don't think I could handle that at all. No, you better spend time with me, not with somebody else. I would get totally jealous, and then I would have to kidnap people, and I have to come to Christina and ask how to do it properly.
Hints and tips, yeah.
In theory, I can give you lots of advice, but it's all in theory.
Yeah, oh, sorry,
sure.
In
that's
theory. Yeah, that's right. So, you've got the co-writing thing. I mean, is that well underway, or you just kicked that off?
We just started probably about a month ago, so it's in the beginning, in the first draft.
All right. So we're not going to be seeing that next year, I presume.
Probably not.
Yep,
so,
hopefully.
What do you like to read when you're not writing?
I actually have to do audiobooks because I have no time. But mostly horror.
Do you have any? Who's your favorite writer?
Oh, hard to tell. I really like Richard Matheson. Stephen King, obviously, just normal mainstream classic.
Yeah.
And then a lot of just like authors that I've encountered doing different anthologies, like the indie authors.
I think you're surprising.
You're going demon, James. It's that time of night.
Okay.
So yeah, you said audiobooks. I have never been able to. I tried once, and I basically, I found myself I couldn't pay attention. I really couldn't. I put on the audiobook, and I got comfortable, and the next thing I know, I'm like daydreaming about stuff. So I have to read because that makes me pay attention. You know, I mean, never do I, you know, read and then find myself wandering. So I can't do the audiobooks. Other people, you know, really can. But anyway, it looks like we're just about out of time. So can you tell us where we can find you online, Christina?
You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the website, ChristinaBergling.com, with all the links on it.
Awesome. And we have your links put up on our Facebook page. So if anybody wants to stalk her, they can go there and do it. And I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. And you have to promise to come back.
Definitely. Thank you for having me.
Yay.
Yes, I hope I'm okay now.
You're not sounding okay. No, you still sound like a demon.
Goodbye. I just say it anyway. Good night.
Thank you.
See you soon. Thank you.
We can still make you out. You just, you know, sound a little demonic there. That's all.
No, I got some of that anyway. So really, it's time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
The